Okay, on that note, right? So we saw last time, we've been discussing the communal obligations that everyone is obligated to pay, to chip in, everyone benefits from. So we discussed, we mentioned, and we'll have to explain how it's related, the Gemara Maseches Baba Basra over here on Daf Yud Beis Mabes. It says the Gemara at the bottom. If you have two people splitting properties that they inherited from their father, one is in Los Angeles, one is in New York, LaMarshall. One is in one place, one is in the other. And one of the brothers already owns an adjacent property to one of the ancestral properties that he inherits from his father. So he can demand, under certain circumstances, if all the properties are equal, he could demand from his brother that he give him the property that's adjacent to his existing property so as not to inconvenience him to have to go across the country to get from one property to the other. Assuming all properties are equal, he has the right to demand that, and that's based on the principle of Kaifin al Midas Sodom. The people of Sodom were opposed to doing chesed, opposed to doing favors to others, even where it cost them nothing. I think we're setting you based on under certain circumstances. Again, if it's not all equal, let's say one gets more sun than the other, let's say one gets more water than the other, let's say one just has a view of the Hudson River and the other has a view of the valley and he likes water better than valleys. I don't even know what the valley looks like, but if he would have such a thing, so then that's not all things being equal. I have the right to say I like the water better than the valley, or whatever. I don't like the whatever it is in Los Angeles. I like the weather better than Los Angeles. I like the weather than New York. Whatever it is, you have the right to do that. But if all things are equal, mamish equal, then it's kaifin al midas toim to prevent someone from deriving a benefit which costs you nothing. So the Rishonim brought this up in the context of that famous Gemara Maseches Bava Kamma over here in Chafam Arav, going over to Chafam Abayz. But the Gemara says that if a person has an empty apartment, someone else is looking for an apartment to rent, he's keeping it vacant anyway. He's not interested in renting it. Maybe it's rent controlled and he doesn't want to get stuck with a tenant in there who he'll never be able to get rid of. So he's holding the apartment vacant. This guy needs an apartment to live in. So he squats in this guy's apartment. Then he sends him a rent bill for living there. Can he do that? Can he say to him, look, you weren't planning on renting it out anyway. It didn't cost you anything. So the truth of the matter is, of course it costs him something because there's blackening of the walls. He could destroy the pipes. In the end of the day, he's using the garbage. So you're right. In theory, it could cost you nothing. Practically, it will probably cost you something. But let's say in theory, it would cost him literally nothing to have this guy there. And you're not planning on renting it out anyway. Even though this guy is interested in renting out an apartment, he's willing to pay for it. That's called zenene. He was looking to rent out an apartment and now he doesn't have to. But zeloy choser, this guy doesn't lose out anything. Can he charge him rents for living in that vacant apartment? That's the open question Gemara has in Bava Kamma. The Gemara, I believe, comes to the conclusion that he does not have to pay. Zenen of Zelo Chaser is Potter. So Taisus says in the course of that discussion, why is this different? Of course, it's Pashut that he has to, he doesn't have to pay. Because Kaifin al Midas Toim, what do you care? You're such a bad guy. You have an empty apartment. I need a place to live. What's wrong with you? Are you a Jew? Rachmanim, Baishanim, Goimle, Chasadim. How could you possibly not allow another Jew to live in that apartment? What's wrong with you? We should compel him to do so. So Taisus explains there, no. That whether he's Kaif or Pot is a whole separate issue, but I can prevent people from seizing my property and violating my property rights based on the principle of Kaifin al Midas Toim. You can't say, you're not wearing your shoes today. Give them to me. Kaifin al Midas. What? You don't let me wear your... Give me your socks. What? Socks? We're not wearing that pair today. Kaifin al Midas Toim. No. The answer is, first of all, we're going to smell and it's gross and, forget about all that. But it's just, you can't take people's stuff based on Kaifin al Midas Toim. It's a violation of my property rights. That's what Taisus said. That's a limitation on Kaifin al Midas Toim. Yes, Kaifin al Midas Toim, but not to seize my stuff. Otherwise, every guy's garage, every guy's empty bedroom on Shabbos, you could start stripping people there and say Kaifin al Midas Toim. You can't do that. That's Taisus, that's in Mukai Yosef. The Mordechai disagreed and he said, no. In theory, you could. Property rights don't limit Kaifin al Midas Toim. You know what does, though? This guy has the right to change his mind to decide to rent out his apartment. Today I'm holding the apartment hostage because I'm keeping it vacant because I don't want it's rent controlled and I don't want anyone here know what rent control is. I assume that we have a real estate major now. Everyone knows what rent control is. So if it's rent controlled, they don't want to put some guy in there who's going to be stuck for another 65 years. So they're leaving it vacant, hoping the law has changed that, now the law has changed. You know what's going on? Like 2 years ago, right before COVID, the law has changed. It used to be in New York that if you were a rent controlled apartment and the tenant was there consistently from the 70s when the rent control laws were implemented, the rent couldn't be bumped. You were stuck based on whatever the rent board of New York City allowed you to raise the rent. That's what the rent was stuck at, and that percentage increase. So you had people living in enormous apartments, enormous, paying, a few hundred dollars in the middle of Midtown. Like, it's crazy. That was rent control because they wanted to make certain housing that was accessible to everyone. Then it used to be, though, if the tenant moved out, you could pop the rent back to market value. So you'd have landlords who were like making the lives of these tenants miserable and never doing any repairs in the hope that like you leave. Because if you left these apartments, and people would stick in there like lines in it, you couldn't do anything to these guys. And then they would yarshin it to their children, because what happens is, what they would do is have a grandchild come and take care of a grandparent. If you're on the lease for more than 2 years, you could take over the lease at the same rent. So a rent-controlled grandmother would have her granddaughter come live in the apartment for 2 years, put her name on the lease because she's a resident there, and then transfer to the granddaughter. Now the granddaughter is there for another, mayavas from Shama. So they're stuck with these. You have certain apartments that mom is paying, $15, and the apartment would sell for, $12,000 a month, and instead they're paying $15. So at Kitzer, they used to try and get these guys out. Now, 2 years ago, they changed the laws. So even if you get the guy out, the rent control remains rent control no matter who's there. So now it changed everything. So what the landlords are doing now is holding the apartments, hoping that after de Blasio's gone, that they'll get rid of this rent control, because it's bad for the tenants. In the end of the day, no landlord now is motivated to do anything for their building, because unless they're obligated to do so based on code, because you can't raise the rent anyway. So if you can't raise the rent anyway, you can't pop the rent. Why would I do anything to invest in my building? So it's bad for the tenants at the end of the day. And so the landlords now throughout are holding their breath for de Blasio, hoping that after de Blasio's gone, the rent control laws will go back to what they were. And if the tenant leaves, they can pop the rent. So right now you have thousands of vacant apartments in the city. Mamish thousands. That's their strategy. I don't know if it'll work in the end, but that's the strategy. So let's say, a guy sits in the apartment and says, well, you're holding it vacant anyway. And if, whatever, I'll leave, whatever. So the guy could say, no. He said, forget about Koyfana. I want to change my mind. Let's say tomorrow the landlord says, I'm tired of this strategy. It's not going to work. Eric Adams isn't going to change the law. It's going to remain rent controlled. So then he says, fine, I'll bite the bullet and rent it out. But now I can't because I have this schlump living in my apartment who's going to be impossible for me to get rid of, this squatter. So, let's say my garage. I have an empty garage. You say, you let me put my refrigerator in your garage. What's wrong with you? I have an empty garage. Koyfana me the storm, you bad guy. So I say, well, let me do it. So I can say, no. But tomorrow I might want to park my car there, and your refrigerator is going to be there. So you can never see someone's property based on Koyfana me the storm, not because of a violation of my property rights, but because I might decide later on to change my mind and rent it out. So Shimon writes in his Chidushim, Masechtas Bava Kama, that this is a fundamental machlokes over here. How far do we take Koyfana Midas Toim? Does Koyfana Midas Toim override my property rights? But the reason why you can't seize my room, you can't seize my garage, was Koyfana Midas Toim, because I might change my mind to rent it out and I'll be limited from doing so. Or is it no? Koyfana Midas Toim is limited by property rights. Yeah. I thought, Rav Shimon doesn't say this. This is my own tushto. I thought this is machlekes Taisus and the Ran, and the second is Baba Metzia. The Gemara tells him Baba Metzia, maybe you learned it once, Perikei on Metzias. Over here, always doubt. If you find Svarim, Karbehen, Echad Lushay Shumyam, if you find lost items, you have to take care of it until the person comes to claim the item. So there's certain items, right, if you leave them, they'll rot, or they'll rust, or whatever. They'll become unusable. So matzah svarim karbehen echad l'shoshim yom. If you find books, you have to read from them once every 30 days. Otherwise, they'll become moldy or something. V'me'enu yodea. We're talking about scrolls here. V'me'enu yodea likros gadolon. If you don't know how to read, then just roll the scroll from beginning to end. But you shouldn't stam read from them. If you don't have to, and other people shouldn't read together with you, because two people will be fighting over the text and rip the scroll. Matzah ksus. You find a garment, you have to shake it out once every 30 days. You can shake it out for the benefit of the item, but not for your own benefit. I find a lost tablecloth. I can't say, look at this. I have a Shabbos tablecloth now. You're not supposed to do that. But if you find gold and silver, silver and copper, kalim, you can use them even for yourself, but you can't wear them out. Why can you use these litzarkan? Because otherwise no one's going to bother doing it. So you can use it for your salad, but you shouldn't overuse it. What if we said there's certain things you can't use for your own benefit, but you can use for the item's benefit? What if you both benefit? So Tashma, we had a brisa. Shaitcha letzarka uletzarka letzarka. You want to use the garment for itself to benefit the garment. Letzarka in ha letzarka uletzarka loy. If you both benefit, no. Ema seif for 1 minute. We have a say. This says in the seif that brisa for loy lechvaydoy. You can't do it if it's for your cover. Lechvaydoy hu deloy ha letzarka uletzarka. It's shaper dami. If it's for both of you, then you can benefit. We can't figure this out. So the Gemara leaves it all as an open shiloh, right? You have to take care of a lost item for the benefit of the item. What if it benefits me too? Then no, then you can't use it. And what if it what if it only benefits me? Then you can't use it. If it benefits both of us, it's an open question. Frak Tosfos, so Tosfos writes over there. Dafka b'shituach sus mi boilei. The whole question about using letzarka, for you benefit and the item benefits, you know, because it's getting used and not gonna get moldy or something, is only we're talking about a garment. V'chol de damigo, the shemi anicha shtucha yos mi kdei tzarka. See, the problem is we're afraid you're gonna leave it out longer than is necessary. If you're using it for yourself, right? I need to use the tablecloth once in 30 days. If I'm using it as my Shabbat tablecloth, I might leave it on. It looks so nice Sunday, Monday, like the guys wear the Shabbat shirt Sunday, Monday. So he's I leave my tablecloth on Sunday, Monday. You're going to use it more than is necessary. Actually, it's calculated until it becomes ruined. I will be safe for Arminum, but by when it comes to sperm, Arminum the Koybehen, Afogab the Tsarko, Hukumo Tsarko. For safer, you know, it needs to be read or, you know, rolled. You can use it even for yourself. We're not afraid there that you're going to overuse it. Kevin should cover those man, echel l'shloshim him, because you have a regular time you can use it once every 30 days, or echel l'yud beis chayis, or yimah wabit chila. Gamal yikah v'yishin v'kayin l'chayishis, what about when it comes to kayin l'chayishis? The son who come on, the mishtamish, afil b'cham, v'kay, you know, kay kesef, b'tzoyin, and whatever. Kevin should also tash, when you look over there, kiyokol. Since over there, you can even use it for your own benefit, because even if you overuse it, it's not going to become ruined. But what do you see from Tosfos? You see from Tosfos, if I have an item that you need it to be used, and I would like to use it, and it's not going to cause the item to be ruined, like the clay cast of clay nechoshes, where even if I use it, it won't become ruined, I can use it for myself. Meaning I have your silver esrog box. I found it in shul. Next sukkah comes. No one claimed it. Can I use that silver esrog box in shul? So it sounds like from here, yes. If it's silver and it could become dented and all that, and you overuse it, you schlep it around, showing it off to everyone, so then okay, not. But if it's something that's, you know, durable over here, it sounds like, you know, silver is very undurable, pretty soft usually. But if it's durable, so then you can use it for yourself. How can I use it for myself? Because what do you care? You have a silver esrog box. You care, and then all of a sudden you come to me in shul, you see it again that next year, and you say, wow, that's my esrog box. I bought it at auction for $75,000. At some Judaica sale, Sotheby's. So, I know a guy who did that. People collect esrog boxes. It's a thing, apparently. So, I see that's my esrog box, a one of a kind, and I see you have it. How could you bring it to shul, you ganif? Says, I found it last year. What do you want me to do with it? So I figured I'd use it anyway. So can you do that? What do you care? It was sitting in my house anyway, and I put up a lost and found in the bulletin board. Nobody bothered to claim it. So can you do that? Tosfos seems to say yes. Do you know why I think? What do you care? What do you care? It's sitting in my house anyway. You lose nothing. If you lose something, the tablecloth get overused and will wear out, that's wrong. But if you have nothing to lose, oh.
What happens if the value goes down?
Why would the value go down?
Like let's say you find a sports car that needs to be used.
Sports cars need to be used.
If you keep it in the garage for like 3 months, it
becomes moldy.
Not moldy, but it gets like the car gets ruined. You need to like put it out. I'm not sure why. Maybe the engine or ignition or whatever. But every time you use it, the car's value can end up being less because the more the car is.
So then, if the value goes down,
but at the same time, you need the car. You need.
That's exactly what the Gemara is talking about. So if there's a fear of overusing it, lowering the value, you're 100% right. That's what the Gemara is talking about with the tablecloth. If you could use it ad nauseum. If you use a Kiddush cup 1,000 times, it's not going to go down in value. So unless you drop it, right? So then, the likelihood of you dropping it increases every time you use it. But assuming you have an item which is not going to get bent out of shape, you know, because you dropped it, so then you could use it as much as you want. That's what Tosfos said. Even for your own benefit. Why? How can I use it? It's not mine. The answer is kaifan al-mida stam. What do you care? So you see from Tosfos that kaifan al-mida stam is not limited by someone else's property rights. So Ran is untied. The Ran disagrees. Says Ran, Vim Toima. Tip shalim al-sisi, the kaifan al-mida stam, 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 the kaifan al you see that when it comes to the Klai Kesef, Klai Nechayshas, you can use it both for your own benefit as well as the benefit of the enemy. That's because if you didn't use them, it would get rusty. The reason why you could use a Kelim with Tzar Koi for the audience benefit as well as your own is because it's a pain to use these bowls once in 30 days and not use it on a regular basis. I have to remember, oh, this I can only use for that amount of time. It's a pain. Since they didn't want to be matriarch you so much, they allowed you to use it whenever it's convenient for you, because otherwise it's too big of a pain to have a chart about how many days a month I can use this stupid salad bowl. So because of that, they let me use it whenever I want. About halacha, but says around on the other circumstances, no. So you can't necessarily interpret from it there to a tablecloth. You can use it even for your own benefit. But I think what you see from the Ran is, you wouldn't be able to use this guy's bowl, even if he loses nothing, were not for the fact it would be a great tircha to avoid using it, to only use it intermittently. So because it was such a great tircha, the Chazal allowed you and were kind of mafkir his property rights in order to encourage you to do Hashavas Aveda. But you have no independent rights to use someone else's item just because they have nothing to lose. See, for Tysus, the fact that there's no downside means you could use it. The Ran doesn't say that. The Ran says, no, Chazal were mafkia, they remove your property rights, or they limited them in order to encourage this guy to do Hashavas Aveda. But not based on Kaifan Amidah's time. Taisvis doesn't seem to follow that line of reasoning. It seems to me that they're arguing about this very same issue, even though it's more of a subtle point. Where does this all come up? All comes up, Lamaisa, with regards to carpooling. Carpooling. A guy's driving somewhere. He has an empty seat in his car. You ask for a ride. Can he deny you a seat in the car? I'm going to a wedding. I believe it's a very beautiful wedding last night. Shemach nachas and mazel. Yeah, I'm going. You need a seat in the car. Can I deny you a seat in the car? So there's an article written by Rabbi, a book really, called Case Studies in Jewish Ethics, I think, by Dr. Aaron Levine, who used to be a professor here. Jewish Schechter's cousin somehow. But anyway, he was a brilliant professor. Economics and Jewish ethics. He really is the grandfather of this whole Sy Sims Jewish ethics being part of, like, business ethics being part of the Sy Sims major. Daniel Feldman, Rabbi Feldman, was really inspired by Professor Levine. They were very close. That's how he encouraged Sy Sims to kind of take on this field. But it was really started by Dr. Levine. It used to be given in YC in ethics. They used to have it in the Smicha program. He used to teach as well. So, interesting guy. So he wrote an article about this. It's in his Case Studies in Jewish Ethics, arguing that both according to Tosfos and according to the Mordechai, you cannot deny a guy a seat in your car. Why? According to Tosfos, you can't seize my car. You can't seize my garage. You can't seize my bedroom based on Kaifan Amidas Taim. How can you seize a seat in my car? Zok Dr. Levine Azoy. He said it's because I'm not seizing your car. Your car is your car. You're here in the car. I'm asking for a seat in the car. That's not a violation of your property rights because you're in the car. You're the bottom of the car. But what do you care? Why would you deny me a seat in the car? Kaifin on me this time. Now you have to. Not only are you a good guy if you take me, you're a bad guy if you say no. And we would force you, Yashar Cheleinu, if we were in charge. We would force, we could compel, we can't compel anybody to do anything. I say that in the shul all the time. I can't force people to stop talking in the shul, but if we could compel people to do things, we would compel you to give the guy a seat in the car. It's not a violation of his property rights. No.
Wouldn't we say that if, let's say, the guy was annoying, then that would be...
Oh, we'll get to your point. We'll get to your point. Yeah. No, what are you saying?
I was going to ask if you have, an empty bedroom in your house.
I think he might say the same thing, Dr. Levine.
Same thing?
I think he might say the same thing. You can't seize the whole house. That I think he might say the same thing. I don't know. He doesn't discuss that. But what about the Mordechai? The Mordechai said it's because you can't seize my item when I could choose later on to rent it out. So Dr. Levine argued quite convincingly at the time. Remember when he argued, this was in the early 90s, late 80s, around there, mid 90s. Argued, you can't rent out the seat in your car without a medallion. You can't rent out seats in your car. What are you? It's illegal. So he said, you can't rent it out anyway. So you're stuck. Both according to the Mordechai and according to Tosfos, it's kaifin al midas time. So at the time, I disagree with Dr. Levine. I was in when he printed that, I was in Cleveland or something. I disagree with Dr. Levine. Lefian is died. I was 50 years younger than him, but it seemed to me that it is a violation of your property rights. Well, just because I'm sitting in the car doesn't matter. Doesn't mean that you're not violating my property rights by stripping your kid in my car next to me. I'm on the way to yeshiva. I don't want to sit next to your kid in yeshiva. You're violating my property rights by doing so. It's the same as the bedroom argument. Like, how are you talking? That if I have an empty bedroom, you could strip your parents there because, you know, for Shabbos and the Shabbos Simcha because I have an empty bedroom anyway? It's absurd. Of course, a violation of my property rights. He wanted to say you're not commandeering the car because you're driving the car. But to me, it's still a violation of my property rights as the owner of this property to dictate who comes and goes. Even if I happen to be sleeping in my own bedroom, to take my spare bedroom is still a violation of my property rights. So I disagreed with Dr. Levine. And then it became so, in my mind at the time, it depended on Tyson and Mordechai. Mordechai, I heard his argument. You couldn't rent out the seat in the car. So at the time, I argued it was dependent on this Ramah and the Pesachei Tshuva. How do we pass it? Do we pass it like Tosis and do we pass it like the Mordechai? So the Ramah says, over here, I say, you can't force a guy to live in his house. That's something that if I wanted to use, I couldn't use it. It's because he could rent it out, and maybe he'll change his mind to rent it out. So according to the Mordechai, you can't rent out the seat. You couldn't at the time rent out the seat in your car without a taxi medallion. So I thought Dr. Levine might be right. But in the Pesachei Tshuva, he quotes from the Beis Ephraim that no, we should pass like Tosis under all circumstances. Tshuva's Beis Ephraim, because of its tzarech in our Ramah. Why is he only quoting the Mordechai? What about Tosis? I mean, did we have Poshim L'mashmikein? Even when you couldn't turn around and rent it out, L'mati L'kufa L'chachigo. You can't take my house. It's a violation of my property rights. And I viewed another guy in the car as a violation of my property rights. Of course, things changed, right? And now with Uber, and I don't know how this all changed, but you can rent out seats. Every every guy who's driving anywhere can rent out his car to whoever he likes, and everyone is a taxi driver all of a sudden. So now you mamish can rent even bein l'taisis bein according to the Mordechai. I viewed it as not a kaifan amidas time situation, but at the time, yeah.
For a carpool, even let's say you didn't care how many people were in your car. And you were the driver, owner of the car. But however, the two people, like you have a five-seater, but the two people in the back, having that third person in the middle, that is a seat, but it's very annoying and uncomfortable.
We'll get to your point. One second. Give me one second. So I said to Dr. So I met Dr. Levine in the library. So I used to hang out on the library. So I met Dr. Levine on the five, on the library. We were arguing about this point back and forth. Oh, I was a Talmud. He was the Rebbe. I was in his class a few times. So we were arguing about it back and forth, and I said to him, by the way, Dr. Levine, how do you get to yeshiva every day? He lived in Flatbush. Take a car. I got carpool. He said, do you drive? No. He didn't participate in the carpool, so he got a ride with everyone every day. I said, Dr. Levine, I drive a carpool, and we have a guy in the carpool who doesn't drive, who, cops a ride with us every day. So I said, that's where we're coming from, different places over here. But anyway, I think your point is exactly correct, and he didn't appreciate this either. I said, I think his argument was the following. If I'm going in a car by myself, right, I might want the alone time. And I keep saying nowadays, in the olden days, what could you really do in the car? At least I could listen to the radio. But still, maybe I wanted a time to decompress. Many people decompress in the car. I needed time to think, whatever. Now you could talk. And in those days, there was no cell phone. So, but now you could talk on the phone in the car, and you can't do that if someone else is in the car. Now maybe I'll listen to my podcast without you interrupting every 2 minutes with your ha'aris. So it's annoying to have another guy in the car. The shy would really be, we already have four guys in the car, or five guys in the car. What do you care if one other guy is sitting in the back seat? There's no privacy anyway. And anyway, five guys are making their hours on your podcast. So what's one more sixth guy? Then the argument's a little weaker. But so maybe this guy's a nundik. Okay, so if he's a nundik otherwise, but otherwise I hear his argument. But let's say, Marshall, you're already taking the guy. He's coming in the car and you were driving anyway. You were going anyway. And he gets a ride with you. I don't think you could charge him for tolls and tax, gas. That was Dr. Levine's other point. On this, he was correct. He's right. You can't charge him for tolls and gas. Why? Because you're going anyway. ah, he's heavy guy. It's going to use more gas. That's wrong. It's just not true. Rabbi Bleich, who's a Pesach we mentioned here a few times here in Yeshiva, wrote Contemporary Halachic Problems. So in his book, Contemporary Halachic Problems, one of the volumes, I don't know, there's seven or eight volumes. So he said, we used to have over here at Belfer School of Mathematics. That's why the building was called Belfer, because it was housed at Belfer School of Mathematics. They discontinued the Belfer School of Mathematics in order to fire all the professors who were tenured. So what they did was they just got rid of the school. Everybody went away. I think it was subject of a lawsuit. You could check it out. I think it went to Supreme Court. So they defunded the Belfer School of Mathematics. But when the Belfer School of Mathematics existed, they studied, at least this is what Rabbi Bleich quotes, they studied if there's additional people in the car, does it use more gas? And what they concluded was, this is relevant in Hilchos Shabbos too, a wife is going into labor. The husband wants to go together with the wife. Can he go together with the wife in the car? The wife is about to go in the ambulance because she's a chayla, you know, she's about to give birth. Sakanas nefashos. Can the husband go too? So the answer is, you could always have one person go because you need an advocate in the hospital. This guy's lying like this and he's passed out and the nurses are ignoring him because they're so busy. They're good people, but they're so busy and whatever. So you have to have someone there to, you know, to buzz the nurse if we need something. So you need an advocate in the hospital on Shabbos. It says in Nishmas Avram, that's Dr. Abraham Sefer, Medical Ethics, that to have an advocate in the hospital on Shabbos is a pikuach nefesh. You could be Michal Shabbos Day Raisa to get an advocate there to the hospital on Shabbos for this one person. But let's say this person, this wife who's going into labor, has her doula. She has her labor coach anyway. She's got an advocate. She's 10 times better than the husband at this point. Doula knows exactly what she's doing. The husband is like trying to figure out how to tie his robe or, you know, whatever. So you don't need the husband. Can he get in the ambulance too? We don't need him. So they concluded that, yeah, especially in a heavy ambulance, one extra guy doesn't add any extra weight. The husband could go in the, you know, they don't press on the gas more times and cause more fires because the husband is in the car. He could go. It depends more on the habits of the driver. Some drivers, if you've ever been in a lot of other people's car when they're driving, they're like, stop, start, stop, start. So it depends how heavy your foot is on the brake, how much gas you use, way more than how much the car weighs. So fine, you can't charge a guy for extra gas because you have five guys in the car as opposed to four guys in the car. It's absurd. And you were going anyway. The tolls, you were going anyway. What are you, such a bad guy? You're charging this guy for the tolls? Koyfen al midas time. You didn't have to get him in the car in the first place. I always say, you didn't have to get him in the first place. But once he's coming, I don't think you should charge for gas and tolls. But all of this is with one caveat. You were going anyway. Consider the following situation. Two guys come from Eretz Yisrael after spending the year there. They come back Pesach time. They're both going to, Leibowitz made a wedding. They're both going to North Woodmere. I need a ride. You need a ride from JFK, which isn't so far, but all right. I see, you know, I'm waiting, you're waiting. It's like a game of chicken. I see you call a taxi, you call an Uber. I say, you're going in. Can I get a ride with you? What, you're a bad guy. You don't take me. Okay, if I don't meet this time. What do you care? Said, why is there something wrong over here? What's wrong? What's wrong? You're going anyway, aren't you? The answer is yes. Yes, you are. But you both need to get to someone, you know, someplace. Neither one of you, you know, wants to drive and necessarily needs to drive and necessarily needs to call the Uber. So then it's wrong for one of the parties to kind of throw himself onto the community or onto the other party who happens to be the one who's a little more responsible and called first. That's what the Maram wrote. I don't know why I didn't put it on this sheet. You have the sheet from last time. The Maram says on these all these obligations that we have over here in our Gemara, we force the guy to pay for the wall. Why do you force the guy to pay for the wall? You're going to get your wall built anyway. The community's going to pay for the wall. So how can I sit back? I just moved into the neighborhood. You guys have a very nice wall. You have a very nice gate. You have a very nice lock. We charge, a lot of schools do that. After they build a new building, they charge the new parent a building fund contribution. What are you charging me a building fund? You built the building already. Yeah, we have a mortgage. That's true. Okay, but you're going to pay for it. If I hadn't moved in here, you would have been paid for it. You're going to figure out a way to pay for this building. How can you charge me for the building? Kaifen on me, the Stein. What's wrong with you guys? You're bad people. This whole town is a reincarnation of Stein. It's crazy. The answer is no. You can't do that because everybody in the community has an obligation to do it. So just because some people are more responsible than others doesn't mean that other people don't have to follow through on their obligations. Same svara, my vote doesn't count. Yeah, it doesn't count. No one individual vote counts. No presidential election, even Gore v. Bush, right, was won based on one vote. But if everybody says that, no one will vote. So if everybody would say that, we'd all be sitting in the airport till 2 a.m. waiting for someone to call a taxi. It won't work. So whenever you have these kinds of collective obligations, the principles of Kaisvan Kaifan Al Midas Tovim do not apply. That's what the Maharal Mirutenberg made the point. Yeah, what do you say? Go ahead.
I have two questions. First question is, if I'm going somewhere
no.
and someone volunteers, let's say papers money, are you allowed to accept it? That's my first question.
What do you mean? I'm fine.
This has happened before. Like, I'm driving someone back from Hask, and they're like,
why are you driving back from Hask?
I have a car.
You have the car. So you have a car there. You have a car there already. You have to drive your car back.
Well, I already decided to give him a ride. I wasn't expecting any payment. He's like, I feel bad. Like, here's money. I'm allowed to accept it.
Well, it depends. If he would have said, I'll drive anywhere, you come with me, would you agree? So let's say I'm going to a wedding and I bring my car because I'm not coming back to the Heights after. I'm going wherever I'm going. So I'm bringing my car no matter what. If you would offer to drive me, I wouldn't go with you because I need my car at the wedding. Then I can't deny you a ride, and I cannot accept... I mean, I could deny you a ride because I might want to listen to a podcast and you're a nudnik. But once I took you, I can't charge you for the gas and tolls.
It's not charging.
I'm not charging.
I can't even accept it. It's kaifan al midas tovim. I can't even accept it. But if we're both in the Heights, we're both coming back to the Heights, and I don't need to drive, I'd be in charge. I don't mind being in the back seat. You know, some guys can't sit. I don't mind being in the back seat. I just was a little more responsible. I responded first. I made plans first. Then you want to pay me for the tolls and the gas. That's right. That's the right thing for you to do. And there's nothing wrong with the guy accepting, because I could have gone with you. So that's why I say, if you're... but let's say the real Shiloh comes, you're the guy in Hask with the car. The other guys don't have a car. Now, why don't they have a car? They don't have a car because their parents don't have a spare car to give them for the summer. They, whatever, don't have a car there. They figured, I'll go with Tuckman. I don't need a car because he's got a car. He's the car guy. So that's really where you get into tricky territory. I would say that in that situation, that's not called, they could get a car if they needed a, this guy's dating, but he knows five guys in camp have cars. I'll borrow someone else's car. No, that's not, you should have been responsible and get your own car. You know, everyone else has a car. A parents need to get a kid to school. So they see there's so many people on the block going to that same school. So they sell their car. Because the only place everyone's working from home now, and the grocery store is around the corner. So the only place they ever drive is to school. But I don't need one because everyone else on the block has cars. So I say, I'm going to sell my car. And they say, whoa, I don't have a car. You're driving anyway. Oh, can you take my kid with you? Kaifan on me this time. Say, whoa, why are you putting on me? Why don't you drive? I don't have a car. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You sold your car because you knew you could rely on the safety net of the community. That's a joke. I know. This has happened. All this has happened. I assure you.
Sold their car because they can get a car
pulled? Under rules of confidentiality. This has happened before.
That's bizarre.
Why is it bizarre?
It's crazy.
Why?
Someone would actually do that.
Why? They don't need the car.
They force everyone else's hand? That's not cool.
It's not cool. It's not cool. I agree with you. It's not cool. It's not cool. They couldn't afford whatever. I mean, I'll tell them it's chavercha. They had two cars. The wife took one car. But it's tricky. In my opinion, I was much more hardline than Dr. Levine. Yeah. What do you say?
What happens if I'm driving someone back to wherever I live, and they just live like a block further than I do? So I drive them to their house. Are you then allowed to charge them for gas and tolls?
Not going to their house.
I don't follow you. Again, what?
Let's say I'm driving back. You're going out of your way.
Well, why? It all depends on the situation. If you're driving anyway because you have to... Oh, you're saying... You could charge them for the gas for that one block.
Right. So is that what you have to do?
You're a petty guy.
You're on the garden.
Listen, she's talking about selling your car.
That'll be 45 cents.
You're on the Garden State Parkway. You get off at a different exit. Each exit has a different toll.
Yeah, okay. Then you really went out of your way. Yeah. Then you're a taxi service. Yeah. Or, look, there's a concept called chesed. Right? Chesed is a Eud Varm Shailam Shir. It's a big Indian chesed. Avram Avinu Chesed, you know, Shloshit Varm Olam Omeid, the three pillars, one, all that. Chesed is a big deal. And chesed means not charging people for doing favors to them. But, you know, whatever.
You can't take a tip, though. Like, in Zach's situation, like what he was saying. He's going there anyway, but the guy's at the end, like, thank you for driving me. Here's $5.
Keep it. Can't take it. Ugh.
Zach, Tuckman didn't ask for it, though. He just... It's a tip. It's a gift to you.
It's not specifically for gas or tolls. It's just like...
If he's a nudnik and he's paying you for putting up with him in the car rides, it's a separate thing. But I don't think so. I think it's a bit bizarre. Yeah.
Okay, this is a strange question. I mean, not too big strange, but imagine this is very practical situation. Two people.
The situation comes up. Ma'isi b'chol yom.
Two people have cars with lights and want to go somewhere. It's a wedding, engagement, whatever it is. So debating who's going to drive. So first factor I would ask is what. How do we? I'm assuming that if two people are going to drive, so first one's driving, I think it's fair to ask second person pay. Also, do we have to factor in now that the other guy's losing his spot, and now he's got to look for parking the next day, and it's going to be time, and we have to park in a lot now because the guy's up inside. It's difficult to find spots.
You want to be paid for that?
You're giving up your.
Well, say you're taking money for gas and tolls anyway.
I'm saying, but on top of gas and tolls, now I have to additionally have to look for parking the next day if I'm going to drive. So I have a. Less of an incentive to drive because I'm giving up my Friday spot in the Heights.
I would say someone has to drive.
So, well, me and Avery both want to go somewhere.
No.
We're both going to the wedding.
I feel like this has happened.
We're both parked in the Heights right now.
I feel like we're talking about a Maestro Jaya.
No, it didn't happen. It's made up very
fast. It happens more often than not.
It's happened very often. It's not happened.
Once a week.
But there's always like these five guys in Yeshiva who bum rides off everyone. That's how I create all these situations. But, yeah.
Each person has a Friday spot and they want to go to the wedding. Can I ask them to split in with me? And
when split what with you? The cost of finding a spot. No one parks in a lot here.
Right,
you're on the street. Well, I'm talking.
It was like, if you end up parking in a lot,
you're parking a lot after an hour and a half.
Because you can't find a spot. You can't find a spot on the way back. And now you're using up gas driving around Laurel Hill 15 times.
Yeah, all of that's included.
But what about the lot?
Also, whatever the cost of the trip are. That's part of the cost of the trip.
I'm saying the lot is more complicated. I could sit there for 3 hours and wait for someone to leave, but at the same time, it's 11 o'clock at night. Like,
yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair. It's what cost you to take the trip.
So nobody's going to want to drive. Who would want to drive?
No, you're saying you can split it.
You can split it.
Wait, so, but I was understanding that you can claim co-fin on Minnesota.
Well, you went to the west side. You didn't split the lot? When we went there?
We did.
That's the same thing. What's the difference? One's on the way back, one's on the way there?
Yeah, but JB was going...
Look, I found a parking spot on the way back.
That's what I'm saying.
You did.
Let's say you didn't. That's a good case. Let's say you didn't.
Like, no, I don't think you have the right to say, I don't look for parking that's beneath me. I'm just going to park in a lot and charge the item for parking a lot.
JB,
no, I'm not
the clergyman.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
So JB was going anyway. Can I have that sticker on my back?
Can you ask for your... Correct.
So but if you're causing even a little bit of loss...
Then I could deny you the rights. That's not stunning. That's...
But then can you charge...
I'm an Istanist.
But then can you charge...
I think you have the right to deny him in the first place. But once you decide that you're going... Or unless you have this maram, mi Rutenberg, which is really an important thing, which is where there's a collective obligation, and someone has to do it, and just I'm the shlemiel who decided to put myself out there first, you can't pin it on me now, you know, pin the tail on the donkey, and now say, oh, you're going, you're stuck taking all of us. I don't think that's fair, because I could say, no, I'm not going, you go. But as long as, once you are driving anyway, you have to take your car, you're going with your wife, you're not going to go in the backseat of someone else's car. Mm-hmm. So then, yeah.
So what sort of a case, back to the coming back Pesach, going to a wedding at JFK, I set up a car service, and it's not that the other guy is irresponsible, he was just going to call an Uber when he got there. And he sees that I set up a car service.
He just split the Uber with you. Because you could say, oh, you called an Uber, I'll go with you. Okay. Yeah, that's for sure. You already have to get the cancellation fee, you know. You say, I'll go with you. I would have gone with your Uber if I knew you were going to be there. So then he should split the Uber with you. It's a bad, it's not right for the guy. If you're going anyway, that's the situation. All right, everybody said. Yeah. I think it's important, all these things, if it's a chesed that you're doing, you know, chesed always can't come at the expense of someone else. I always say to married couples, this happens a lot, a guy gets asked on the way back from a wedding to, you know, take someone else out of his way, and then he comes home late to his wife. You know, that's already, you know, you have your wife in the car.
It's
chesed. Chesed is chesed, but, you know, chesed has its place. Don't be a chesed shaita, you know. Chesed at home, as the Rambam has. Look over here, the Rambam says in Erechim, what's a chesed shaita? a person does chesed on the expense of his family or on the expense of himself. That's a stupid chesed.
Time is also an expense, right?
Yeah. But all chesed takes time.
You have to be back at 5:30.
Yeah.
Bringing the guy back could cause late.
But all chesed takes time. It just takes time. So, and they're all important, right? It's a pretty big deal, Jewish thing to do chesed, but you got to do chesed in the right place. Okay, Rabbi, say next. Sugavia. Says the Gemara, in this context, usually it takes Yud Beis Chodesh to become obligated in the obligations of the town. Says the Gemara, Uachol Mili, second of all lines, Mi Ba'ina Yud Beis Chodesh, you really need 12 months. Vatanya, Shloishim Yoim Letamchoi, 30 days to contribute to the community plate, Shloishim Chadoshim Lekupa, 30 days. If you're in the town, you have to pay for the kupa. One was a food pantry. One was a charitable fund that existed in the community. Shisha luksus, 6 months to pay for garments for the poor. Tisha lukvura, 9 months to start paying for the burial of the poor in the town. Shnei masa lepasa year, and 12 months for the pasa year for the gates of the city. So 12 months is not for everything. 12 months is for the pasa year. There are other rules, other times. You know, when a person becomes, you know, they kick in the other obligation of the town. So you see, our mission implies that everything depends on Yud Beis Chodesh. It's not true. There are different time limits for other things. You're right. We only said with regards to the gates of the city, other obligations kick in at different times. You see from here something amazing. You say, what's amazing? I'll show you. Look in the riff. Look in the riff. Ice test. Says the riff. A few words, but very meaningful. On the ois test of the riff, a second line. We see from here that all these obligations, burying the poor, having a communal soup kitchen, having a tzedakah fund, all of these things, are communal obligations. A rabbi's discretionary tzedakah fund is not, by definition, discretionary, not necessarily an obligation. It's a nice thing. Many shuls do it, but it doesn't sound like it's necessarily an obligation. From here, you see it's an obligation to have these communal safety nets present. Umafkina minayu will force you to pay, just like we'd force you to pay for the pasei ear. Umafkina minayu ba'al karchach dumit the pasei ear. So the riff says this obligation of having the communal plate, of having the communal soup kitchen, of having a burial for Meisei Mitzvah, not just mitzvahs, they're communal obligations that you are obligated to have. He compares it to the Pasei Ha'ir. The Baal Amor makes a similar point in the Gemara Bava Kamma that talks about being Kaifan Tzedakah, which we're going to discuss in the next daf. Can you compel people to give tzedakah? And it's a big problem whether or not you can compel people to give tzedakah. Tais over here is a long Tais. It's different Masa Akpe and appears longer elsewhere. Bava... different places, but whether or not you can compel people to give tzedakah. The Tosfos in many different places. Ksubis and that's not. Tosfos struggles. The Gemara says that one person, whatever, I'm not going, was kite for someone to give tzedakah. How can it be kite for someone to give tzedakah? Tosfos has many problems with it. We'll get to when we see Tosfos. It doesn't sound like you could be kite. You can force people to give tzedakah. Yet, we find over here, everyone's obligated to give these obligations to the city. Says the Baal Amor, Yesh Mefarshim, De Ain Kaifen. You can't be Kaifen people to give tzedakah. El Kagoyin Eicha, De Mahani, Afili Boi La Avuche, Baha Milsa, La Masi La Avuche, Hilka Kaifino Le, Kevin Lo Chasa Media, Baha Eicha, Di Boi, Havi Baha Chasa, Li Guri, Havi Merva Chasa, no, yeah, you always see it, I was reading the wrong one. Shemina Midive Rabbeinu Hai, De Mai Darmina Nosam, Shemamashkin Al Kupa, that we will force you and take collateral in lieu of your obligations to the Kupa, Afil Barav Shabbos, Loi Amri Al Bedavishu, Tanai Bnei Ho'ir. It's only when it's a communal obligation with Takan Nosam, something that we established for the people of the city. So if we as a community establish these communal entities, you're obligated, and we can compel you to do it the same we compel you to pay for the security measures of the city. You're obligated to pay for these things too. Yeah.
What about Tamquay Shabbos?
Yeah.
So I'm saying in that case, the federal government gives out a stamp, they can go to a food kitchen, they don't have to get it from the community.
Right. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes over here, Oisir Beis, we don't have these entities anymore. Because there are too many aniyim and people have too many obligations. Look, he says, "Bezman chachme a talmud ha'isa b'chol ir v'ir kupa v'tamkoi k'moshi yisbar." V'af gam bezman hakadmoinim ha'isa kupa b'chol ha'arim. There was a kupa in all of the cities, as the Rambam quotes this halacha in Hilchas Erech and Hilchas Taka. But at the Bavan, I say to anyone who go kupa for Leitamchoy, Shmei Lachatz HaParnasa, there's too much pressure for Parnasa, V'riboy HaAniyim, there's too many Aniyim, Eino Be'efshari, Ra Koyachim, Yisrael, Nois, and Staka Mikisa. I haven't she give Staka as much as they can. So we don't have the same obligation. If a community would establish it, I think it would be an amazing, amazing thing. But we do have it in other forms. We have scholarship, you know, committees and all that. We all have our own, you know, kind of communal kupois, but we don't have this kind of, you know, mandatory tzedakah obligations. We'll explain why in a minute, maybe. I think there's another reason more than just lachatz haparnasa riboy haniyim. But Reb Shmuel, right, makes this point over here, diuk in the riff. And the Baal Amar, over here, Oisir Alf, Reb Shmuel and the Shiur may ask, what does the riff mean to, you know, to contextualize these obligations, the kupa and the tamkor, together with the pasi here, together with the obligation to build the fencing? He says, but he's coming here to tell us, and Afkamina Bazet, Avi Choiv Mamon Mamish, Kamo Kochiyuve B'nei Ho'ir, Avi Choiv Mamon. What the Rif means to say is this is a monetary obligation like building the wall of the city. It removes it from the discussion of Tztaka. V'hadim Afkina Minayu, Kamo Gavias Kochiyuv Diyamu, V'ro Rak Midin Kfiel on Mitzvahs. It's not just an obligation, you know, forcing people to do mitzvahs. This is a communal, you know, a tax. The Kol Hani Mili Chiyuve Ninum Afkina Minayu Baal Karchuk, Dumi De Pasi Ha'ir. And that's the only time you can compel people to give tzedakah. But why would we establish these entities? And what gives us the right to establish these entities and impose these obligations on the community? I think that all of this emphasizes a critical thing with regards to tzedakah, and that is that aniye ircha are koidmin. See, there's an obligation of tzedakah for sure, and there's all these sugyas over here deal with tzedakah, which is an under-explored issue in our community. We don't like talking about it because it gets uncomfortable. But in the halachas of tzedakah, there are clear and cut priorities. There are people who take precedence over others in giving tzedakah. The Mordechai quotes that over here, Ois Yud Gimel, in the name of the Sifrei. Tanya b'Sifrei, in the Parshas Re'ei, Achicha, right? Achicha Avyon, right? You shouldn't close your hand to your brother who is poor. Me Achicha, Achicha ze Achicha me Avicha. This refers to your brother from your father's side. Me Achicha, Achicha Moramish Achicha me Avicha, Kaidim Achicha me Imecha. If you have a brother, a father, you share this, a brother, you share the same father, that takes precedence of your brother, you share the same mother. Be'echad Sharecha, Yoishvi Ircha, Kaidim Ancha Yeracheras. Your people who live in your city come before the people in the other cities. Be'artzacha, in your land, Yoishvi Eretz Yisrael, Kaidim Yoishvi Chutzlaretz. Eretz Yisrael comes before Chutzlaretz. Whatever. There's a pecking order in terms of priorities for giving tzedakah. Now, of course, if someone comes to your door and they're a poor man, you cannot turn anyone away empty-handed. That's a separate halacha. But beyond the minimum amount that you have to give him, and what that minimum amount is, you know, I don't know, but you have to give him some minimal amount. You can't turn people away empty-handed, even if you already gave meiser. You can't turn people away. You can't say, I gave my meiser and put her this year. You can't do that. You have to give person something. You might not necessarily have to open the door, but, you know, or trust him, unless he presents some sort of verification that he's. But you can't turn people away empty-handed, even if you already gave ma'aser. But when we're talking about the basic obligation of tzedakah, and you're giving away larger sums, you have to give it away based on this order of precedence, which is your family first. But I think even before you get to family, there's a person's, you have to take care of yourself, right? Chayecha koidmen chayecha vercha. The Gemara discusses in Baba Metzia. There's two guys in the desert. One of them has a flask of water, you know, a canteen. The other one doesn't have a canteen. And they're both going to starve to death, you know, or dehydrate. The guy with the canteen can drink his canteen. Ah, why doesn't he have to give it to his friend? Because chayecha koidmen chayecha vercha. That we pass on Rebbe Kiva in that Gemara in Tzamach Beis and Baba Metzia. Your life takes precedence over the life of others, but you put on your oxygen mask in the plane before you attempt to help. I don't know if that's why they have that rule, but you have to put on your oxygen mask first. Your life takes precedence over others. So in terms of supporting yourself, you have the right to support yourself before giving tzedakah to others. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Well, it's called supporting yourself. You say, well, you know, I'm still a poor man because I don't have a private jet and a yacht. There's a saying over here, and there's a saying nowadays in our culture that we live in. It used to be the have and the have-nots. Now it's the have and the have-yachts. Some people have yachts, some people don't. Nebuch. So if he doesn't have a yacht, he's a have-not. Chas v'shalom, right? Of course, that's ridiculous. You can't say, I'm not giving tzedakah until I really make it on the Forbes list. You know, come on. That's, It's absurd, of course. So what? Yeah, but where do you draw the line? If you have pasul melach teich on the roof of your head, are you supported, or can I have the right to say no? I'd like to be able to, you know, do X, Y, or Z. So obviously, every community has their standards, and people have to be honest with themselves and, you know, have yir shamayim, and pay for their own needs, you know, within what's reasonable in their community, and, you know, be relatively, you know, obviously what standard of living is in one community, you know, in a different country is not necessarily the same as what it is in our community. In our country. But be that as it may, you're living a normal, average lifestyle with Yira Shamayim. You say, okay, I'm stable now, securing your future, whatever it is, whatever is expectation, then you should give tzedakah above and beyond that. Where, how should you give tzedakah? First to your family, then to the people in your city. The Tana de Be'el Yo says over here, makes the point that, you know, of course your family comes first. This is, sounds like it's a din day, raisa, like we said, me'achicha, you know, me. Says over here, based on the pasuk, say for Yeshayahu, "Hello, price l'rov lachmecha." Ketzid Yeshul Adam Zaynus Harbe. So based on Bikesh Lasses Men Tzedak Kedush Farnes Achayrim. Ketzid Yase. Who should he support first? His parents, right? Even though Kibud Aviyim is Mishorav, the parents have to pay for Kibud Aviyim. It's tzedakah to help out your parents. It's tzedakah to help out your parents. People lose that. I've seen many people. Unfortunately, it's terrible. Sometimes you have young guys make it big, and they don't. In the general culture, by the Nachum, it's understood that if you make it big, you got to buy your mom a house and a watch and whatever. I don't know. In our culture, for some reason, that hasn't. You know, people, you know, what do I owe them? You know, and that's terrible. It's terrible, terrible. Of course, you should help them out if they need it. Of course, do what you can. You don't have to. It's not Kibud Aviyim. It's the Dukkah Pashut. Look, you don't necessarily have to buy them a yacht, right? But and if you have you know, extra, help out your brother and your sister. Some people have breges and they don't want to help out their brother and sister. That's wrong too. Vim haisi your finest is bnei beso. Help out your children. Vim haisi your finest bnei mishpachtoi. You should help out the people in your family. Vim haisi your finest bnei shchuntoi. Help out the people in your neighborhood. Vim haisi your finest bnei mavoi. Help out the people in your development. Mikam ve'el hiyavir b'tzedakah b'Yisrael. So what does this mean? You should give all your tzedakah to your children? Guy has children, need to be supported. All of his stock of money should go to his children. I think it's a priority. It's a priority.
What about those guys like don't want to give all their children their money? They want them to work.
That's good too. That's called chinuch.
No, but I'm saying like if a child can't.
That's called chinuch. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you want your kids to. If you pamper them too much, then if you have the ability to do that, then the kid won't be self-sufficient, right? So, I don't know. I'm sure that policy could be abused, like anything could be abused, but sounds to me a reasonable thing. But you can't give all your money to your family. There's a Gemara Masechtas Ksubas. The Gemara says on the pasuk in Tehillim, Ashrei Oisit Tzedakah B'Cholos, something like that. Ashrei Shemi Mishpat Oisit Tzedakah B'Cholos. So it's so great if you keep justice and you do tzedakah all the time. How could you possibly do tzedakah all the time? Rabbi say, who can do tzedakah all the time? So the Gemara says, this is a person who gives mezainas to bnei beisai, who supports the people in his family. If you support your kids, you're doing tzedakah b'choleis. So according to the name of Yonatan Eibshitz, fantastic shot. Pasuk says in Parshas Achrimais, al yovo b'choleis al kodesh mi beisal parechis. You can't, the kohen gadol can't enter the kodesh kodesh whenever he wants, only once a year, in the seventh month, on the tenth of the month, on Yom Kippurim. However, Bianison Ibshut said like this. He said, Al Yava B'chol Eser L'Kodesh. If you're a B'chol Eser, meaning you're a guy who all your tzedakah is B'chol Eser, all you do is support your children, Al Yava B'chol Eser L'Kodesh. You can't come into the Beis HaMikdash. You're a B'chol Eser. You're a guy who only supports his kids. That's no good. You have to support your kids, true. Some say 50%, some say whatever, your family and the pecking order. It's up to 2/3, whatever it is. A portion of it should be distributed according to the, you know, Kedimos, the Seder of Kedimos of precedence. The rest has to be given, you know, indiscriminately. But Rabbi, I ask you a question. We are such people of transparency, of equality, of meritocracy. We hate nepotism and cronyism. How can we then support the people in my family, support the people in my community first? Isn't that, you know, the most corrupt, you know, system you could possibly devise? But yet that's the halacha. Why is that the case? Why is that the case? Why is that the case? And how do you define my community? Is my ideological community? Is my physical community? What about the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael? The people knock on your door and tell you, Aniyei Eretz Yisrael Koidmin. And we have over here guys who announce, Tzedakah for Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. Do they take precedence over people over here? And we have to figure this all out. Important time frame. All right.
Is there a difference between